Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Tuesdays is just like my absolute favorite day of the week, and it's because I get to sit with you guys and chit-chat, and I have the most fabulous guest speakers in all of the world, and they choose to come and share of who they are with you, the listening audience, so I just get double wham, you know, like on Tuesdays, and so thank you, everybody, for being with us tonight. And we appreciate you for supporting Life, Love, and Wellness. And there's a couple of things that we do in order to get started being on the white energy field with each other. So the very first thing that we do, not just on Tuesday nights, but every day, is that we give thanks to our ancestors. That just kind of takes your breath, right? Just sit there for a minute. We give thanks to the ancestors because they're always with us. And they especially sit with us on Tuesday nights as we discuss issues that are not normally discussed in an open environment. And so we're a little bit bold and we're a lot brave on Tuesday nights and being able to present this show to you and all the different topics that we cover. So thank you, ancestors. And we know we stand on your shoulders for strength, and we know that you got our backs as we move forward. We couldn't do it without you. And so we give love now and forever. Ashe, ashe. And the next thing that we do is we then go into a process of just making sure that we've been able to release our Dr. Mark Armstrong would call it our WOWs, the worries of the world. So by reading a daily inspirational message, and it's from RevSandy.wordpress.com, and this particular one that I'm reading is called Memory. What is stored in the memory of your DNA? Hope or defeat? Love or bitterness? Joy or hatred? Excitement or dread? Enthusiasm or anger? Capability or fear? I have a friend who recently revealed a secret about himself that serves as a reminder to all of us. Be aware of what you hold in your memory bank account. This friend often volunteers to read the organizational guidelines at the meetings he attends. I have been impressed by his reading ability. While he was hospitalized, I gifted him with a copy of one of my books, All of My Men. This particular day, I asked him had he had an opportunity to begin reading it. I am always anxious to know what the reader thinks after reading one of my books. To my surprise and to his somewhat reluctance, he admitted his inability to read. That was when he shared his story with me. During his school years, he participated in a speech contest. One of his opponents told him he was not going to do well because he could not read. From that point on, my friend accepted this as his reality. Understand that this was not the truth, yet it became his truth. After all, he was competing in a speech contest. He is now an adult, still unable to read, as the young lady told him. When I questioned him about reading the guidelines, he told me he had committed it to his memory. This concealed the fact that he could not read. So what do you do by sheer memory? What is embedded in you that you want to conceal? Is it the false illusion given to you from some opponent or another person? Is it real or imaginary? Is it what you want to keep in your account? For my friend, he decided it had been long enough, and he sought a literacy program where he could learn the art of language and reading. Are you ready to diffuse those limiting beliefs about who you are? Again, that's from RevSandy.wordpress.com. Whew. I tell you, this thing right here, what we doing, this life, it's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So we got my girl back with us tonight, Miss Star Waters, and she started last month, and we talked about releasing unwanted weight, and she told her weight loss secrets last month when she was with us. And so this is part two, and I know we're going to get real deep tonight, so we invite you guys along with us. And remember, guests, you're always welcome to be a part of the discussion. Our call-in number is 516-531-9819, and you would just push 1 on the dial to let us know you want to speak live with us on air. And just make sure that once your line is open, that you mute your phone when you're not speaking to eliminate any background noise that may be going on. The mics on this station is just very, very sensitive, and it picks up everything. So if you would do that, and the reason why I'm asking you is that we want to maintain a high-quality playback for people that go back in and listen to the shows, because they're either at work or they go to bed earlier than, you know, the time of the show or something to that effect. So, you know, we just want to respect everybody to have the same quality of listening as you do here tonight. So we're going to talk with Star, who has lost 150 pounds, and that's almost like two people, right? And so we're going to ask her some more questions. We're going to dig a little bit further on how is it, what motivated her. Did she use a combination of different diets? Just exactly what are her secrets? And so I'm going to give us a little recap when we come back, but that's what we're talking about. We're talking with Star, and who knows, it may go into show number 3. I don't put a limit on things, but we're going to make sure that we take the time to have this conversation. So anybody that's interested and want to know how they can successfully lose a large amount of weight like Star has done, that she can answer your questions for you. So we're going to take a quick music break, and we shall return momentarily. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show.
Nice cat, just letting it all hang out.
All right, all you old schoolers out there, you know that was Commodore singing Brick House, and that's my girl, Star. She's a Brick House.
Welcome
back to Life,
so
Love,
kind.
And Wellness.
You're so kind, Sandy. You're so kind.
Hey,
look,
girl.
You're so kind, my friend. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Okay, can you guys hear me? Star, can you hear me? That's my Star.
It's loud and clear now.
Star, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
Actually, Blog Talk cut me off, so I had to call back in to start the call back, show back up. So, excuse us, we have no control over technology, you guys, unless we own it ourselves. So, I'm just going to leave that right there.
Okay. Well, as I was saying, you're so kind. You're so kind. I never would have associated that song, Brick House, with me. But I will receive your kind words. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Give you a new vision. Stretch your stuff.
Yes.
When Star was with us before, she talked about, she took us back in history a little bit just to give us a basis to start the conversation. So she talked about how we ate in the 60s and then how the 70s, the vending machines were created, and around mid-70s in 1976, we began advertising medicine on television and telling people, you know, like, go tell your doctor to give you this pill and stuff like that. And so we talked about also, was it hard to keep off the weight after losing it? Did she told us about changing her lifestyle and the 100-day fast and some other things that she had done. We also talked about the skinny versus healthy, because just because a person appears to be skinny does not mean that they're healthy, and what that difference was. And then we talked about visceral fat and why there's an increase in obesity in the United States. And that's where we were, and here we are. Welcome back, Ms. Star.
Well, thank you, Sandy, and thanks to all of your guests, because we had such a resounding, people that were wanting to call in, that were holding on, and we were so into the conversation, we forgot to say several times, if you want to speak, you know, hit the number one on your dial. And so I hope that those people have called back again and will, you know, check in with us, that they have a question or a comment, so that we can have a really good conversation, because weight loss is almost something that everybody is interested in. And the reason why is because of the foods that we're being led to eat. It's putting weight on everybody. And they're trying really hard to keep their weight down. You know, everybody wants to be a brick house. Everybody wants to be one, you know. and to the point of, you know, like writing in their journals, pouring their hearts out. You know, they just want to get the weight off. They want to be normal. You know, they don't want to stand out as being the big girl or the big boy. You know, everybody wants to turn heads and look good in their clothes and be able to wear, you know, fashionable things. So this is a subject matter that anybody can gain wisdom from. If not personally for themselves, maybe for someone that they love, someone in their family that, that is having issues with weight. So
Yeah, I like how you put that. And then, so I read a publication, and I thought I had it here on top of my desk, but I do not, where the new normal size or normal range size for a woman in the United States is a size 16, 18.
I knew you was going to say that.
And that's something?
I knew it.
And the weight is something like 160 to 185 or something. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's craziness.
Yeah,
because with most women, Star, let me tell me if you agree or not, when you're talking about that much weight that you're carrying around, that's not an indication of being healthy. Because you normally eat stuff that's not food, you know, it's processed stuff, or you're doing a lot of fast food, because we know when you eat as fresh as possible from the ground, you know, God's groceries, that the weight actually will just kind of drop off of you.
Yep. And you don't even have to think about it, actually.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you would say that, you know, how the standards for what's normal has gone up, you know, now 16, 18. But then the standards for blood pressure has gone down.
Right.
So that means that if you're, because at one time the blood pressure, I'm not trying to get off subject, I'm just saying the correlation between the two and the reason why. So it used to be if your blood pressure was 140, up to 140, you were cool. Now it's down to like about 120, 115. So that just means that if it is 140 now, then you have elevated blood pressure, which means you get to take blood pressure medication. So if you are weighing the amount of weight that you now wear in a size 16, 18, and that's the normal size, and let me correct you, it's not just in the United States, it's wherever the United States has touched people's lives. So now have a new terminology called blobesity. People all over the world are obese now simply by eating the fast foods that the United States has conquered other countries, and more specifically, countries that are low income, or what would they call them, that they are third world countries. So like India and Africa and all those other places now have just the same amount of food that we do with all the chicken places and the hamburger places. And it was once known for a fact that people that live in Japan and China were all very slender from their diet. But now they have the fast food places there, and the new generation of those people have high blood pressure, they have diabetes, they're overweight, because they're eating the foods of the West because they think that that's the cool thing to do. So if we could just take ourselves out of the equation and just be an observer and see how this food is destroying lives and destroying health all over the world, then we should be able to say, it's not me, it's not my family history, it's the food. And they want to sell us on that is a heredity. Well, you see, your people. your people have it. So, you know, you've got it. And there's nothing you can do about it. You know, you just have to just monitor it. You have to, what do they call it, maintain it. Or manage. Yes. You have to manage these illnesses. You've got to manage your weight. You know, I just read this thing while I was looking over my notes that said, diets don't work, fasting never fails. How's that
like
for
that.
A statement? Yeah.
I love it.
Diets don't work, fasting never fails. So.
And you know, Star, the real American, the Native American, the people that was here on this land first, they were not large people until the government came out with the government cheese and the government subsidies, and then that whole culture of individuals just blew up, you know, like balloons, like somebody pumped them full of air. Remember that?
Oh, I do.
That was
because they were eating seeds and nuts and berries and things like that.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
You know. Yeah. So we just have to, I think, just become aware, become observers of just what's going on. But we're so caught up in this, you know, where we're watching TV and we're being influenced by commercials and. The commercials basically are giving people that sense that you're not all right and you need fixing. All of us, you know, want to get the butt injections. We want to get the plastic surgery. You know, we want to do all these things when really we are enough just the way that we are. We're enough.
Yeah.
We're beautiful
yeah.
and we're whole. But we've allowed them to hypnotize us with these commercials saying that we're not okay, you know, our hair needs to be a different color, you know. I mean, so I just say turn the doggone TV off. Stop the madness of being hypnotized all night long while you're watching your favorite show. It's more commercial than it is show, you know, and then during the commercials, because they have already suggested that you go get some pizza. You know, you already got it because they gave you that message, you know, 2 weeks ago. So when you went out to do your grocery shopping, you got the pizza up in the freezer. So now you're going into the kitchen, turning on the oven, and then by the time the next commercial come on, the pizza will be ready so you can close out the show. Mindlessly eating the pizza that they suggested that you eat, you know, four commercials ago. So... yeah, we got to just be more conscious.
Good point.
More
so let me ask, we got two callers, but I want to ask you before I bring one of them on about intermittent fasting. Can you tell me the benefits and what it is? And then, because, you know, we had a couple of some other questions that we wanted to touch on tonight, too. So the intermittent fasting.
Okay. So intermittent fasting is a way of eating that you have a specific, what I've heard them call it, a specific feeding window and a specific fasting window of time. So the most common feeding window is 8 hours a day. And so you pick whatever your schedule is, whether you're working the day or night or whatever, you pick 8 hours that you want to be able to eat your food. And then there's 16 hours that will be your fasting time, and most of that will be while you're sleeping. So what that does is it gives your body the opportunity to go without having to digest your food. So most people are on what they call a seafood diet. And I don't mean fish in the ocean. I mean every time they see some food, whether it be a vending machine or they out and about and they go past a McDonald's or a Burger King or whatever and they want some of that, They just eat constantly. Well, when your body is constantly digesting food, that vital force that it takes to do that can't be used in the way that it was meant to be used, which is to actually heal your body. Our bodies are self-healing vehicles that can clean up any kind of mess that we have going on that takes us out of balance, that creates disease, that creates obesity. It can't help you with that because you keep sending stuff down there for it to digest. You're going to have a little something-something before you go to sleep, you know. Let me have some, you know, tea and cookies, you know, just so I can sleep better. Or you eat something before dinner just to tide you over. I mean, it's the things that we tell ourselves that we constantly are eating. So the intermittent fasting helps us to have windows of time that we allow our bodies to not have to digest the food, but to work on the illnesses that we have created from the foods that we're eating.
Thank you.
I hope
Thank
I explained
you,
that okay.
I think you did pretty good.
Okay.
I believe this is Ms. Madeline here, 928978. Is that you, Ms. Madeline?
It is, Sandy. It is. Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Star. So exciting.
Doing,
oh, my God, we're going to see each other. We're going to see each other next week.
No,
Sandy.
This week.
Well, yes.
This
yes,
week.
Sandy.
This yes. Week. Oh, my
goodness. Yeah. Yeah, great.
So, what's your comment?
Say again?
I said, what's your question? What's your comment?
Oh, what? So, when I heard that the average woman size is 16 to 18, I literally put my hands over my eyes. It's like, really? That's frightening. Frightening.
Yeah.
Oh,
it is.
My goodness.
What size
yeah,
are you?
I'm little. I weigh 120 pounds and I'm 5'5".
Oh, okay. Okay. Already.
Yeah.
I'm
a healthy eater and, totally pay attention, but lately I don't know what the combinations I am doing. I have to pay closer attention to the combinations that I'm doing because my stomach is bloated, which is unique for me. And it's like,
okay,
what am I doing?
So do you know I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Do you know what is it called? Food combining, proper food combining. Okay.
Yeah, not a lot,
so,
but yeah, somewhat.
Okay.
That's
Can you explain what
for.
You know about it?
For me personally, right now, like I could eat just a plain salad, so romaine lettuce with a dressing, no vinegar. Right now I'm not doing vinegar. And quinoa with peas and raisins with a curry sauce.
Okay.
And that's what I had for dinner tonight. And so I'm not going to do that again because it's like, whoa, I really feel bloated. So the combination didn't work.
Are you drinking a lot of water?
Not when I eat. I don't drink water. I don't drink anything when I eat.
Oh, no, I didn't mean while you were eating, but during the day and like an hour after, do you have some water?
I don't drink a lot of water at night. I drink a lot. I live in the high desert. I drink a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A lot of water. But when it comes to evening, if I'm thirsty, I'll just put water in my, you know, a little bit of water in my mouth because I prefer sleeping through the night than waking up three or four or five times.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, tea. I hear you.
Yeah.
Right.
So just looking.
Well, for those people that are listening that don't know or have never heard of healthy food combining, healthy food combining is another way of losing weight. And basically what you do is you eat vegetables with starches and vegetables with protein, but you don't eat protein and starches, and you don't eat fruit and protein. So the way that most people eat is they eat the protein and the vegetables. I mean, the protein and the starches.
Starch.
Like macaroni and cheese, you know, the protein is the cheese and you're putting starches with it. Meat sandwiches, you know, the bread is the starch, but you've got all the protein. And so, you know, what that does is when we eat the food, whatever goes down in our bellies first, that's the enzyme that our body sends out to digest that food. So it's like sending out, you know, an army of people to slay the enemy, but it's sending out a specific weapon, but it's only digesting part of that meal. So the other part goes undigested, and it makes us feel bad. You know, that food is undigested in our colon and it's just sitting there and rotting, and we can't lose weight. We can't distribute the food like it needs to be distributed. So healthy food combining, for those people that would like to see a shift in their weight, this was one of the things that I did when I was losing weight, was I started practicing healthy food combining. And it really does work. It really works.
It really does. Yeah.
So let me share this. I found the magazine article, and it says 16 to 18 is the size of the average American woman. $24 billion is spent on plus-size fashions annually, and 168.5 pounds is the weight of the average American woman. I just want to share that with you.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Whew. Just wanted to share that. Yeah. So, okay, Madeline, just hold tight. We got one more caller that I want to bring on, 702-303. Thanks for your patience. Tell us who you are and your question or comment, please.
Good evening, Sandy. Good evening, Star.
Good evening.
It's a Sandy Holloway Jones, formerly of Sweetwater.
Hey, Sandy. Out of Vegas. Hey, sweetie, how are you?
I'm just lovely. And you?
I'm good. Yes, ma'am. Sandy was one of the people that tried to get through last time and couldn't. So, yay, you did it.
Okay, well, good.
Just want to thank you for all your encouragement. Thank you for that information that you sent me today. It could be beneficial for the lady that was just on the phone. She was talking about what she was eating. However, she didn't say when she was eating those things. So that information you shared with me earlier may help her about when you're eating what you eat.
Oh, the when diet. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that. Thank you for bringing that up. Have you, and the WIN diet is the eating from the Arcadian calendar, which is stated that our bodies burn up the food, digest it better when we're eating during the daylight hours. So much information and talk is all about what we're eating, but it should be when we're eating. And thank you, Sandy, for bringing that up so we could talk about that. And so that also could be like intermittent fasting. So I've been doing intermittent fasting now for about a year. And as of the last maybe two, 3 weeks, I have added the Arcadian calendar, which was eating during the daylight hours. So I just kind of shifted my time. So instead of starting to eat around noon, I'm now eating like around 10, and I stop before it gets dark outside. And there were people on the Dr. Oz show that they had this group do it for 30 days, and then they brought them back when they actually, you know, was talking about it. And there were women that had lost 2 dress sizes. They didn't change what they ate. They were still eating what they liked to eat. They just shifted their eating time for doing it during the daytime hours. And so either they dropped pounds and they dropped dress sizes, and they had lots of energy. And they were satisfied because they got to eat what they wanted to eat. So that's another thing, consideration. It's the WHEN, W-H-E-N, the WHEN diet. It's when you eat, not necessarily what you eat. So thanks, Sandy, for bringing that up.
Yes, I'm starting that actually. I started it today after I got the information from you yesterday. I've been doing the intermittent fasting. When I released like 20 pounds just doing that. However, I am going to start this because I need to drop another 42 pounds. So I'm going to do use all the tools that you gave me, and I'll keep you posted on how I'm doing.
I want to hear the good news, honey. Yes, definitely. Thank you. Thank you for shaking my memory bank here. Definitely appreciate that.
Sandy, thank you for having Star on. She's one of my absolute favorite people.
Oh,
well,
thank you,
Sandy.
We go back a long way.
But don't tell her I said it.
Well, apparently I gravitate to Sandy's.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Thank you for calling in, sweetie. I appreciate you.
You guys take care. Ciao now.
Okay.
Thank you, too, Sandy.
Bye-bye.
So, Star, tell us how important is it in celebrating your accomplishments?
It is very important that you, you know, for yourself, to give yourself an attagirl or attaboy, you know, that you set out, you had a goal, you had a vision, you had the discipline, you saw it through, you know, you achieved the goal that you said that you were going to. And yes, it's really important to celebrate that. If not for anybody else, but for yourself, because if you don't, it's like you don't honor all the hard work and all the discipline that you did. It's like you're saying to yourself and your journey that it doesn't matter. Yeah. And that's really what happened to me, is that I was really very close to 300 pounds. I used to watch all of these shows where, you know, you'd see the people's before and after. You'd hear their struggles that they had with food, and then you'd see them just transform and going from a caterpillar to a beautiful butterfly. And that was what motivated me. I would look at these people's stories, and I wanted to have a wonderful before and after. And I set out to lose 100 pounds, and I did. I lost 100 pounds, and I was very happy. But I didn't celebrate that. And something inside of me just said, well, if you did it, how good could it be? I mean, it's not that big of a deal, you know. And I put that down, because now I wanted to lose half my body size. And then when I did, I didn't celebrate that. And then when I hear other people that have lost a tremendous amount of weight, and I'm really very happy for them, but I was like, so why were you not happy for yourself to say, hey, I achieved this goal? Not to say, look at me, but just to acknowledge the hard work and discipline that I did for myself.
Yeah.
And
right.
It's very important. And I would suggest to everybody, celebrate you. Celebrate your accomplishments. Get out there, even if you got to throw the confetti on your own self. Do that, because that is your reward. And you need and should be rewarded for hard work done. So thank you, Sandy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know that as women particularly, and man, this is no slap in the face to you. It's just I'm a woman, so I know how women do things. And so most women are so busy doing for other people that we forget how important it is to take care of ourselves or be our own cheerleaders or celebrate things that we've done. And so that's why I wanted Star to mention that, because I know the first time I lost like 40, 50 pounds, I was in my early 20s and was having difficulty getting pregnant. And so I decided that I would just make some lofty goals. And once I lost the weight, I got pregnant immediately. So I know that it was all connected there together. But Star, I never celebrated, the weight loss. And I think that's part of the reason why I always considered myself to be a little chubby. That's what everybody called me coming up, was I was a little chubby. I don't know what the difference between a little chubby and a lot chubby. But they always told me I was a little chubby, maybe because I'm short. I don't know, but yeah. And so now I do, now whenever, I put on weight and then I release it, I'd be like, go ahead on, girl, you a brick house, something like that.
That's
so
right.
You got to give yourself
that encouraging self-talk, Definitely. That was one of the things that I did when I was out jogging, is that I would give myself self-talk. Go ahead with your old self out here. And got the men whistling, Hey, well, they may not have necessarily been whistling because I was cute or fine. I think they was whistling because they were saying, look at this old girl out here jogging at about 2.5 miles per hour. But the thing is that I kept moving. Yes. But you brought up an interesting point, Sandy, if I might add right now, when you said that you had a difficult time getting pregnant, and so you ended up releasing some weight and you got pregnant.
Yes.
So this happens to a lot of people, where they tend to be infertile because of their weight or whatever. But I think what it is, it's weight, yes it is, but it's also the fact that your body is toxic, because when we have collected fat in our body, the fat then becomes our friend. And I say that because I've read where when the body has excessive body fat, that body fat has come about to store the toxicity that's in our body. So when I do weight loss with the clients, the first thing that I have them to do is to detoxify their body.
Right.
To get all of that gunk and toxicity out. And when it then clears up, the fat just goes away because it's no more needed. The fat is there to help us from getting sick. Did you know that?
Okay. No, I didn't. No.
Yeah, so in this case, fat is our friend because it's storing all the toxins in our body, just storing it there. So if you want to lose weight, people, go on a fast. Go get yourself some enemas or a colon cleanse or something like that, so that you can get rid of the inflammation that's in your body.
Yeah.
So Dr. Sebi, I like to quote him because it's so apropos here. He said that there's really only one disease, and that disease is toxicity. It's you know, it is the inflammation that we have in our body. So we must get rid of the inflammation in order to be healthier, to be more slender, to have better mental health, you know, do some detoxifying and get rid of that stuff. So that way
and
the
I think
fat
that'll
is
help
not
Madeline.
Needed.
Yeah, I think that'll help
Pardon?
Madeline too. That
okay.
And either the intermittent fasting as well, you know, like even at certain times of the day. So I know I've gotten
yes.
to the point now where I my goal is not to eat past 6 o'clock, you know, which is right around that time when, you know, at the end of the
yes.
day hour. So,
yeah.
Yes. So let me remind everybody that you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. If you would like to be live on air with us, the number here is 516-531-9819, and you would just hit 1 on your dial to let us know you want to speak live on air with us. So I do remember, Star.
All right, good. That's good.
So we were talking about fasting. And the number of times that it appears in the scriptures in the Bible.
Yep. You want to tell
so
them?
You want to? Sure.
Yeah. You brought it up.
Okay,
How
but
many
I
times?
Thought I was 77 times.
That's right.
And it has a very positive effect on preventing Alzheimer's.
Yes. So fasting, how fasting works is it stresses out the gray matter of your brain that acts in the same way that exercise stresses out the muscles in your body. And it actually helps your brains to become younger. So you start like aging in reverse in the mind. And it grows these little like sprouts in your brain that assist in you thinking more clear, become more sharper, and retain a better memory. That whole thing about being hungry really affects the brain in a very positive way.
Well, I know I just came off of a 40-day fast, and, oh, my gosh, I had so much incredible energy. I was just taking care of all kinds of business. And things
yes.
that were half done, I went back and made sure they were done properly and correctly. And, you know, I washed my one day star, my windshield was dirty, and I could barely find my way to the garden. And when I came back, I went to wash the windshield, but I wound up washing my whole car. So the fasting is really just a marvelous, miraculous type of journey to take. So,
well, I just wish there could be like a camera that follows you around when you're fasting. You are an incredible superwoman. I'm like, I don't know how she does it. And then, you know, take yourself to eating, social events. You know, it's like when I'm fasting, I don't want to be nowhere around food. I don't want to smell food. I don't want to know that people are eating. I just want to shut that part out. But you be all up in the mix and sitting at the table and having conversation. I'm like, wow, she is a superwoman. Yeah.
Sandy, what does your fast look like, Sandy?
I do a water urine fast.
Okay.
And so most days when I wake up on the fast, I will have water, about 32
uh-huh.
ounces. And from there on out, I'm drinking my urine the rest of the day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And sometimes about once a week, This particular time, I added doing 1 teaspoon of Himalayan sea salt to a glass of water. I didn't do that my first one. I did 31 days. I didn't do that, but I added it to this. And it just seems to, you know, kind of make sure that you have all the minerals and stuff that you need in your body so that, you know, nothing funky happens to you.
Yeah, the Himalayan salt is that's all I use. And I start eating my dinner at 4. So by 5 we're done eating.
Well, that should be pretty good though.
Yeah, it is. Uh-huh. You know, still daylight, and even with the shorter days, it's still between 4 and 5 is still light out.
Right.
So,
but you may want to do a fast. So, go ahead, Star.
No, go ahead. No, finish that up.
I just said maybe a fast would be something she should think about doing. That's all.
So, okay, when you stop eating at the time that you say that you do, have you always been where you don't crave food or you don't want to nibble something? Are you just really self-disciplined that way? Or did you have to work on getting that way?
No, I don't have to work at it. And it's, you know, it's a giant, giant gift. And I grew up in a bakery. My dad was a baker. And so I got to eat anything I wanted because my folks never said no. And I think because they never said no, I never indulged. I would eat a cookie, 2, sometimes 3. But I just didn't do it. And I grew up in a time where there wasn't fast food. Mom was home and made dinner.
Well, we all did, I think. But, you know, those days are gone by now because we believe the hype. We keep hearing how, you know, people are just too busy these days to prepare food, you know, and we really believe that. But we can do anything that we set our minds out to do, you know. I remember back when to go to McDonald's, the Golden Arches, which was the first fast food that I really remember happening, hey, that used to be something that might be done on a Sunday after church, maybe once or twice a month or something like that. But there are people that go to those fast food places 3 times a day. They'll start out someplace doing the breakfast thing, then they'll have, maybe they'll go to another restaurant and have lunch, and then they'll end up going to yet a third restaurant to have dinner. They've spent a tremendous amount of money on food, and guess what? They don't have not nary a leftover. So they got to repeat that whole cycle all over again the next day and the day after that and the day after that.
Right. Such and they're not
so
even eating food.
Because people will
not
tell
even
you.
Eating food.
Right. People will tell you that it costs too much to eat good food. But you just made an astounding point. When you add up all, even if it's only going to cost you $5, you know, for your lunch and $2, you know, that's every day that you're doing that. And that's going to cost you so much more than preparing your own food, you know. So,
yes,
we really do. I agree with you totally. We really do need to take another look and stop being brainwashed through the television and, you know, what's acceptable about, you know, wearing a size 16 or 18 if you're unhealthy, you know. So I think that gives people an excuse, you know, I'm just regular, I'm just normal size, average size, you know, there's nothing wrong. But,
But, I mean, when you multiply that to people in your family, you know, especially with the breakfast thing. Okay, so now mom has the kids in the car and she's taking them to school, but she's going to ride through the drive-thru to get them all, you know, a kid's meal or whatever. She's probably spent close to $20 on breakfast. That once they
and
eat it, how long is that going to carry them? Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely. So
that's 5 days a week. That's $100 right there.
There you go. And, again, let me repeat, and there's no leftovers.
Exactly. Exactly.
There are no leftovers. So
excellent
you're
point.
Always
I love
to
that.
Regenerate what are we going to eat?
Yep,
what's
yep.
for dinner? What's for lunch?
Yep.
What's for breakfast? Oh, and then, you know, we got snacks.
Yeah.
So I really want to impress upon people, and you mentioned it earlier, Sandy, about just eating real food. I think that terminology is kind of blows over people's head because they're thinking, well, that's stupid. I am eating real food. No, you're not. You don't know
right.
what's in that food-like substance that you are eating. And you don't know why you keep wanting to eat it. Well, I will let you know you want to eat it because of the chemicals that they put in the food, that they mix it just to the right, and this is their terminology, not mine, just to the right bliss point. That
right.
once you take the first bite, it's like taking a hit of cocaine where your
right.
eyes roll back in your head and you think, oh, my God, this is so good. And then you can't wait to get it again the next day. They're creating a monster within you. You know, you got to have it. You just love it. That's all you know. I just love it. But the truth is being told is that, no, you're just being controlled by this food, and you're
yeah.
out of control because now you're thinking you're normal wearing a size 16, 18. So it's all about
yeah.
fooling your minds and making you think that you're okay. You're not.
Exactly. Have you heard
so
of
you
the Eucalyptus diet?
I was going to say you asked that we talk about the mucilage diet. Yes.
Right.
So the mucilage diet is by Arnold Eckhart. He put it out, oh, gosh, a long, 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 long time ago, like maybe around the turn of the century or whatever, a little bit
exactly.
after that. And I vibrated to that book right after my first son was born. He was born in 1978, and it might have been maybe 1980 when I came across that book. And the idea of a mucilage diet just sounded so amazing because by that time I had already been fasting like maybe for like about 6 years. And so I'm thinking, well, if I could eat stuff that didn't create the mucus, I wouldn't have to fast once a week or whatever. So, but it basically talks about eating green food. So, and that's it. You're eating green food. And right now, that's real doable for me. My son is now 40. So, back then, 40 years ago, with a family, that was out of my comfort zone. I could have did it, but I couldn't have done it with them. And that's another thing that detours people from following their hearts when they want to make a decision based on what they themselves personally need for their health and their welfare. We always, Sandra, the same thing you talked about, us putting ourselves on the back burner. We always have to consider other people before we consider what's good for us. I could have been a rock. I could have been a brick house way back then. But because I knew that my husband wouldn't want to just come in and eat no green vegetables day in and day out, I just read the book and it was a great concept, but I didn't take it any further than that.
But you know what, Star? My granddaughter Daisha, when she was about 2 years old, she would tell her parents that she didn't want no meat. She refused to eat any kind of meat, and they thought it was me telling her to, you know, that's your grandma telling you not to like meat. I was like, I haven't told her no such thing, you know. So what we do as parents, grandparents, is we make the children eat meat.
We do.
You got to eat that. That's good for you. You know, that's going to give you strong bones and all of that kind of stuff. And so because we, I believe that we're born without that sensation of having to eat flesh. I just don't think that that's part of our yearning, you know, what we want to eat. I know it wasn't with my grandchildren.
Well, I remember I have children. I have four children. And I remember
you kind of breaking
every single
up
one of them. I am.
No, you kind of, you're good now. You're good.
Okay. I remember feeding them, you know, starting off maybe with some fruit and then going into some vegetables. And, you know, the fruit, they ate that real good, you know, because, of course, the sweetness. The vegetables, yeah, we had a little bit of difficulty. You put the spoon in and they would spit it out. You put the spoon in, they'd spit it out. But what I noticed after the fact was when I, you know, fed them the baby food meat, the spitting out was, I mean, really a challenge. And now that I look back on it, I really force-fed those children. I made them eat the meat. I just kept up, you know, until pretty soon they stopped spitting it out. But they did not want that meat. They didn't want it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So,
I think it's alarmed,
So, and someone asked me today, I mentioned that I was going to be on your show, and they asked me today, what kind of foods did I eat and how do I keep my weight off? And I eat mostly raw, and live food. I started off with doing the vegan, and that went real well for me because I was deliberately breaking the habit of eating animal-based food. That went real well for me. I was able to sustain weight loss. However, it's something about cooked food that acts as a drug to me. I'm unable to stop eating a small amount of food, And I think I overeat because the food is so easy to dissolve in my mouth. I mean, a couple of chews and it's down. I can swallow it. Whereas when I'm eating raw vegetables and live vegetables, I have to chew and chew and chew and chew. And basically, after eating for like about 20 minutes, I am just worn out. I'm done. I'm full. It's time to move on to another activity. And by eating live and raw food, this is my number one way of keeping my weight down.
Okay.
And
so now,
it just, like
you
I
know,
said.
You know, when I come off of my fast, I do juices for the first 2 or 3 days, and then I'll do a vegetable soup. And so I did that coming off. But, Star, I could not wait to get me a raw salad. I did not. That just seemed like that fed my spirit. The vegetable soup was absolutely amazing because it was all fresh out of the garden from a trip I took to Kentucky. It was all from out of the garden there. And so I know that the food was all naturally grown, so that wasn't a problem. It was delicious, but I had that hunger for raw food. So I get what you're saying about that.
Yeah, it feeds my soul. It really, really does. And there's this book that someone purchased for me. It's called Eating in the Light by Doreen Venture. And
oh, okay.
It speaks about how one, when they eat foods that are grown by the sunlight, that it helps to clear their bodies to be more of a spiritual tool.
Okay.
For those people who are basically interested in becoming more in tune with others and with nature, that when you eat foods that were brought about through the miracles of the sunlight, opposed to those people that are feeding their bodies foods that were brought to the table through through violence and that kind of thing, because you eat that. And, you know, Sandy, you and I talked about how the people where we live, how reckless they drive, and when they get behind the wheel, you know, and you said that it's because of the food that they're eating, and I really have to agree with you on that. Yeah. You know,
I really do
so
believe that.
That's something that maybe everyone won't want to give, you know, a thought to, but I know that I'm a lot more peaceful when I eat, you know, real food, you know, food that even if I got something that was made up, that it has no more than 6 or 7 ingredients in it when you look on the label and you actually know everything that is on the label instead of all these long
you pronounce it.
That you can't pronounce it. It's like about as long as your little finger on the list and stuff, you know. Hey,
yeah.
Then you know that that is not what you need to have, because your body doesn't even know what to do with all those chemicals. So
right.
What you going to do? Right.
And I think that's what's important, Star, is that we must take ownership and take responsibility for our health and for what we eat and how we feel as a result of what we're eating. And I believe that most people that listen to this radio show are better equipped, and they are conscious and conscientious about what they eat on a daily basis. So I'm going to give 2 thumbs up to my listening audience, because I think they
are, but
there's so many people that aren't. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've got a friend that tells me it's just too expensive for him to eat the way that I tell him to, although he corrected his diabetes eating what I told him to, like in a month's time. And I'm like, so you would rather get shot up with needles and be have the condition of diabetes in your body versus eating? I said, what you're eating is not food anyway. So you can't even say that the food that you're eating is more expensive than what the food that I'm telling you. I said, because that's not food. If it's manufactured in a laboratory, to me, that's not food. That it's something else, but it's not food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's my definition.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. So what I think, I mean, since we're talking about weight loss, what I think is really important for those people out in radio land that are truly interested in dropping some pounds, I would suggest that you find yourself at least 2 people that will support you. And, you know, one that will support you in movement or in exercise, and one that will support you in what you put in your mouth. Because 80% of what we put in our mouths is going to help us to lose the weight, opposed to if you were trying to do 80% of the exercise. It all begins in the kitchen, what it is that we put in our mouths. And that whole myth about a calorie is a calorie is a calorie has been proven to be wrong. You know, if you eat 300 calories of cookies opposed to 300 calories of, you know, some kale salad and something else, which one of those do you think is going to be better for your body?
Hmm.
Of course, the kale salad and the and that. Your body's going to process that a little bit more. You're going to become more regular with your bowel movements. You know, you're going to have the protein from the green leafy vegetables, and it's a calorie is not a calorie is not a calorie.
Right, right.
So we got to stop letting these people mind mess us up. I was going to say something else, but I got to be cleaner than that. Because
no,
you know
very
what?
Creative, Star. Very creative.
Yeah. I stopped on the dive and gave you all 9 to 10 on that one, okay? But I
that
mean, we got to know some things. We can't just say, well, I don't know. I'm going to listen to these experts because I tell you what the ploy is and what it is that they use. It's called confusion.
Yeah.
That's what they do. So as long as they can confuse us, then we just throw our hands up and say, you know what, I don't know anymore. I'm just going to continue eating what I'm eating. Because this person is saying this, and over here this school of people are saying this, you know, and then over there they're saying that. And I'm just totally confused. That's what they want. So we're in the information age, people. You don't even have to get out and go to the library. Everybody got a little computer that they use every day called their cell phone. You can Google. You can look up things, and you can be your own expert when it comes to feeding your body. And you can learn through trial and error. So one of the reasons why I never celebrated losing 150 pounds is because I was so disappointed with myself that I didn't do it like they did on The Biggest Loser, where in 3 months or 6 months I had lost 200 pounds. I was so embarrassed that it took me 25 years to get this weight off. But I heard just recently, guess what you're not going to see with The Biggest Loser people? You're not going to see a reunion show. Why? Because they didn't all gain the weight back.
Huh.
They didn't learn how to properly feed themselves. They just learned how to push themselves. But along the way, they don't know how to feed their bodies. They didn't get that lesson.
So sad.
All of them except for one has gained all the weight back. And because the one that didn't gain the weight back actually had the gastric bypass. So.
Wow. And Bob Harper, the guy that was on there, he's on promoting some kind of medication because he had a heart attack.
Yes, he did.
I'm like, how are you going to come on? I don't think I would be an endorser for any type of pills if that was my position, you know, to be a trainer for people to lose weight. Are you sickly?
You say, am I sickly?
No. Harper, the guy that was on The Biggest Loser.
Uh-huh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, the instructor,
He was supposedly a vegan or plant-based, I believe, mostly. So I don't know. You gotta wonder what was really going down with that. Not to say that those people that are plant-based are more healthier than anyone else. I mean, just because you're plant-based, I mean, they're saying, a lot of people say, I'm plant-based, but they eat potato chips, they eat all kind of junk. And they refer those people as being a clean or dirty. Are you a clean or a dirty vegan?
Yeah.
Well, I had never heard that before. I'm like, well, what is a dirty vegan? You know, where you eat a lot of processed food and whatever. You eat a lot of, what are those cookies called? Oreos. You know, because Oreos are plant-based. Oreos are
and
vegan.
That I have yet to figure out, but I do understand that's on a lot of people's diet plan, so
yeah. Okay. So
really?
Along the way, I have tried a lot of things, and that's not a bad thing because you have to shock your body. Once your body is used to eating a certain way, and it will start losing weight, and you thinking, okay, I have found the diet now. This is really working. And then, you know, after about being on it for like about a month or so, now you have reached that thing called the dreaded plateau. No matter what you do, you can't lose any more weight. And it becomes very frustrating. And then you up your exercise, and then you'll start maybe jumping some more pounds, or you will then try another diet plan, and then you start losing weight. So you got to constantly stay on top of it and stay ahead of the plateau curve, because your body gets used to it. So I probably venture to say, because we are talking about me losing 150 pounds, I probably venture to say I have gone on maybe 20 different eating plans, and that's good. That's okay, because along the way, I am teaching my body different lifestyles of feeding myself.
Hmm.
And what really works and continues to work is the raw live eating. That works.
Yes.
So I'm like you. I'm the Energizer Bunny. With that type of eating and that type of lifestyle, I have lots of energy. You know, I don't even hardly think about food. I eat when I know I need to eat, but I'm not sitting up late night going, okay, what can I snack on? Snacking is a thing of the past for me right now by doing the intermittent fasting. I just go straight to a meal. I don't do snacking anymore. So I eat what I need to eat during a meal. And then when I
and
get
then you
done,
cut it
it's
off.
Over with. And then I cut
okay.
it off. Absolutely.
Okay.
And I'm very satisfied. I'm not craving anything because I'm eating real food, not food with chemicals in it that make you crave things.
Yeah.
And that's where we go wrong. We don't realize that the food has chemicals in them.
And a lot of sugar. And that's why people
yeah.
are diagnosed with ADHD and all the
yeah.
all the alphabet.
Yeah.
Because of
yeah.
all the sugar. So you're spiked and then you crash. And you spiked and then
yeah.
you crash.
Yeah.
And they send kids to school after they've had a sweet cereal and they wonder why they're jumping off the walls.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And then
exactly,
they crash.
Madeline.
It's like insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's insane.
Yeah. And it's
but,
really,
cause you know, there's
it's
even
child
a lot
abuse.
Of sugar in
ketchup, yeah, yeah.
too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all the
yeah.
processed foods, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, they put the sugar in because they took the fat out. And
right.
when they took the fat out, then the food tasted like cardboard. So, you know, because they sold us on this low-fat diet. And so they had to put the sugar in there in order to make the food taste good.
No.
So,
it's,
I mean,
you know, we just have to
so
be
here,
smart.
We have to be smart. But where do we get that from? Because of the confusion thing, who do we turn to? Who do we run to get the information that we need to have that's going to set us up with a healthy lifestyle? Not necessarily, like you said earlier in the show, to be skinny, but to be healthy.
Healthy, yes.
I mean, that's really what we all really want, is to be healthy. And then we sell ourselves this story, you know, well, you know, our people, we've always been big bones. No,
yeah.
no. As of when? Because when you look at those reruns of the dance show, what is it, Soul Train? Them people on there
were
thin.
Wasn't no fat people then. Yep, yep.
No,
they were also
no,
active.
Absolutely not.
They, yep,
very
they were active.
Active.
Yep, and no process back then. Hardly
no.
any, I should
mm-hmm.
say.
And folks
yeah.
were eating cake and cookies and all that.
That's
but
true.
It was real food.
Yep,
yeah.
and Mama and Jim
was
making that
was
homemade cake.
Right, no
right.
GMO. It was all
exactly.
pure, good food without chemicals.
Yeah. And then I think it was like in the late 60s is when these I think we talked about this. I don't want to repeat myself. But when they came up with these cake mixes and stuff, and then the terminology came.
Yeah.
Well, is it scratch or is it not?
Yeah.
Before that, you know, if somebody made you some cake, it was a scratch cake. But that terminology wasn't even talked about.
No,
because
we ate
that.
The food.
Yeah.
They cooked it from beginning to end. So let me ask you a question, Starka. We're kind of running down on time again. So have you ever looked at a picture of yourself in a group, say two or three people, or maybe even larger than that, and not even recognize yourself in the picture since you have experienced this weight loss? Has that ever happened to you?
Every time. I'm still looking for the biggest person because that was who I was in pictures for decades. My eyes always would search for the biggest woman or the biggest person. And now when I'm in a group picture, I still look for the biggest person. And generally, I'm the smallest person. But it's still a shock to me. So I don't know how to get past that. I
so
have
would that
no
be
idea.
Something that, would that be something that we need to concern ourselves with when we cannot accept the image that we see in the mirror? Because sometimes what happens is that when we don't have that concrete image that we accept as ourselves, and I'm just speaking from personal history testimony here, is that we have a tendency to kind of ease back to that other size because we haven't accepted that we are
a different
where we
person.
Are.
Yeah, I still look for that star that I have grown so accustomed to representing me. And I have to ask myself, it's been a long time now. When is this new star gonna be who I'm seeking to see in a group picture?
Mm.
Oh, and here's another thing. When the picture is just of me and not in a group, I still image myself as being fat.
Wow. Okay.
So
I
only get the comparison when I'm in a group picture. But when I'm by myself, I'm fat.
Wow.
That's fat.
What you see. Yeah.
That's what I see.
That's
what my mind is playing the trick on me. And it's not uncommon. I heard someone else say the same thing, and it was a woman. So I don't know if it's a female thing because I've been obsessed with weight loss for probably like about 40 years because I've always been heavy. And so I heard someone say just the other day that they are tired of being fixated with losing weight, and that this person had a diary that she wrote in when she was a teenager, and now she's a full-grown woman in her 40s, and she's still writing in a diary, and the subject is always the same, about losing weight, being smaller, all of that, you know. And I did the same exact thing. And I just got tired of always being in pursuit of being a smaller woman, being normal. And I could certainly have the same kind of dialogue going over the decades.
Yeah. Well, we got a new normal now, so you need to adopt your new
It's a new day.
Yeah, let's do healthy.
Yes.
So
thank
we
you
have
for that.
Had just an absolutely wonderful time with you, and our time is up on this repeat show or the part two. We so appreciate you for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge with us. And Madeline and Sandy, thank you guys for coming on and adding your voices to the conversation.
Yes.
And
yes.
So we got about 60 seconds left. If you want to close us out, I would appreciate it. And sincere appreciation to you for, because Star just got back into town like 2 hours ago. And so we're thankful that you graced us with your presence here. And if you would close us out, I would appreciate it.
Be the best you can be by your own standards. Don't allow anyone to tell you what you should look like, how you should feel. We have the information, if we want to, and you can do it, to be the best you, no matter what size you are. And that's how I leave you.
And I'm sorry, contact information. Not that I'm sorry, but give us contact information.
Oh, okay. Yes, you can find me on Facebook, Star Waters. I'm a 1R star. You can also, my email address is thewellnesswizard555@gmail.com. And I'm also on, you can also find me Facebook, Granny Gone Raw. It's a page, Granny Gone Raw, as well as Instagram, Granny Gone Raw.
Thanks so much, and we love you. Thank you, Madeline.
I love
you,
Sandy.
Too. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.